If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 17. We'll finish. Well, I'm not going to even pretend that we're going to finish. But we will start there. John 17 and 1. And Lord, we would ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Make it plain, Lord. Let it jump right off the pages into our heart.
Yes, Lord.
Then let us go out and live your word and proclaim your word, Lord. And stand on your word. We thank you, we love you, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as we set the scene and we put it all in context, John 17 and 1. Okay, we know that this is like Jesus' last will and testament right before he's arrested and crucified. And then he prays for himself. So in 17:1, he prays for himself. There's three separate prayers in John chapter 17. First, Christ prays for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. And then he prays for us. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. He prayed for us even though we hadn't even accepted him yet. He prayed for us. I love God for that. But right here, he's praying for himself, and he's not asking for stuff. He's asking if the will of God has been done. So when was the last time you and I, we prayed for ourselves, and we didn't ask for anything. We just prayed for ourselves that the will of God would be done in our life. So make it a point. Pray for yourself. But it does take a certain level of honesty. Transparency, realness to go before God and say, God, you know, yeah, whatever you need to say. Amen. Have that heart to heart with God, have it with yourself, and then have it with God and go ahead and pray for yourself. Make a note, because this is very important as we put this in total context. As Jesus is praying, he's with his disciples. I'll just single out the three that when he really got away with, James, Peter, and John. So we know that they're there. The other ones may be there as well, but we know that those three are there. They see Jesus pray for himself. They see Jesus get arrested. They see him get crucified. They see him after he's resurrected. They spend time with him for 40 days after he's resurrected, and he's telling them the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. And then they see him ascend up to heaven as well. All right? So these apostles see all of that happen. All right, so here we go. Keep that in mind. I'm going to come allude back to it. Chapter 17, verse 1. These words spoke Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come, glorify the Son. That word glorify, we talked about praise, celebrate your Son, that the Son may also praise and celebrate you. As thou hast given him power, speaking of Jesus, that means authority over all flesh, over everyone, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, might be sure of you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life that we know, that we commit, we believe, we accept, we surrender, and we trust the only true God. Make sure you have that underlined if you don't. There's a lot of little gods out there, but there's only one true God.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, here's the two questions. Now, remember, the apostles, as we're studying the book of Acts on Wednesday night, I believe the apostles were so fired up because when they heard Jesus pray and talk to God in verse 4, They knew that they would have to answer this to God. Number one, I have glorified thee on earth. I've celebrated thee on earth. I've made your name known on earth. So since they knew they would have to answer to God of what they did with God's name while they were on earth, they made sure. And as we're going through the book of Acts, that's all they're preaching and teaching, Jesus Christ. Crucified, resurrected, repent for the forgiveness of your sins. So make a note, when God asks you the question, did you glorify me while you were on earth? Well, Lord, I wanted to wait till I got to heaven to worship you. No, I needed you to do it. I wanted to make your name known once I really got to heaven and saw you were real. No, I really need you to do it right now. It's the first question we've talked about. He says, I have glorified thee on earth. Then the question number two, I finished the work which you gave me to do. Wow. So James, Peter, and John knew that they're going to have to stand before God and answer the question that you finished the work, that you finished the assignment that I've given you to do. And if you don't know your assignment, your method, you need to be praying every night. God, show me why you put me here. God, show me why you created me. And it's not for your 401k or your bank account or any of that other foolish stuff that we get sidetracked with. When God asks you the question that you finished, look how powerful that is. Jesus said, I have finished. I've completed the assignment which you gave me to do. That's why as we're studying Acts on Wednesday night, you can't shut them up. And they went to their grave. Paul got his head cut off because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. And I'm sure when Peter and Paul had a conversation, Peter's telling him, look, we were with Jesus. And the question that Jesus told God, I have finished, or the answer he gave him, I finished the work you gave me to do. Paul even said, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. They knew they would be responsible for that, so you couldn't shut them up. Then verse 5. I love verse 5. Let me see, because I wrote it down. I had one of these read this for verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with you, with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. It's the deep concept we've been talking about. We were talking about earlier, deep but not complicated. But we've also discovered in Wednesday night Bible study that is deep and it's delicate as well. It's deep and it's real delicate. Here it is. This is so a paraphrase. Jesus is saying, at this moment, before I'm arrested and killed, God, celebrate me as you are celebrating yourself, while you're celebrating yourself alongside yourself, which I had with you before the world began, as we celebrated together before the world was formed. Or how about this one? God, make me look good as you are looking good with the radiance and brilliance I had with you before the world was ever formed. How about this one? How about this deep and delicate one? Before the world was ever formed, I was celebrating with you, God. I was bright and radiant. And now before I'm crucified by the people that I created on the earth that I created, make me look good as you look. And as we both look together before these that are going to kill me and the earth was ever created. Ain't that something? Jesus is going to get killed by his creation. Killed by your own creation. That's deep and that's delicate. And that shows just how dark and devious. That's why Jeremiah said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It can get so bad that it would kill the one that it created. And we've heard of situations where, you know, if you watch the court shows, every now and then you see a parent suing a son or a kid and a kid suing their parents. Are you really brought your mom to court? Are you kidding me? Really? And in extreme cases, I mean, those of us that are old enough, we remember the Menendez brothers. They killed their parents. Was that Marvin Gaye was killed by his dad. So we can't stand before God and say, you don't know what it was like to be betrayed by your own family. He said, man, I was killed by my own creation. So you go, we're without excuse. There's nothing we can tell God that he can't relate to and can identify with. It doesn't get any worse than that, but that is that is tough. This is what Jesus is praying before his apostles. They're taking it all in. They didn't understand all of it because they don't have the word. They didn't have Genesis to Revelation. They were living it. Now we're able to look back and go, whoa, it's pretty deep. But then look, let's take it even deeper. Go to John 1:1. Just to make sure we understand. If it's not clear enough in John 17:5 that Jesus and God are one and that Jesus is God, and that God's math is 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, then we take it to John 1:1. If you there, say amen. It says, in the beginning, and I looked up the Greek, and the Greek word for beginning is archi, A-R-C-H-E, archi, means origin. Says, when it all started. So when it all started was the word, the logos. The word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So here it is, the word is logos. It means God's doctrine, God's speech, God's voice, God's reason, God's motive, God's decree, God's mandate, God's moral precepts, God's work. You can't separate the word from God. It's just not possible. Theos, God the Father. So when it all started, let's read verse 1 again. When it all started was God's voice, God's precepts, God's doctrine, God's speech. When it all started was God's mandate, God's motive and God's reason, and God's precepts and word and voice was with God, and his voice, his proclamation was God. And the same was in the beginning when it all started was with God. Verse 2, all things were made. Make a note, the word made is G-I-N-O-M-A-I. It means to come into existence, has a dual meaning. It means to come into existence and to finish. So all things came into existence and were finished by him. So even before you were made, you were finished. Even before you and I were created, we were finished by God. Isn't that something? All things came into existence and were finished by him, and without him was not anything that come into existence and finished that was come into existence and finished. In him was life, which is Zoe, which means every living soul. Every living soul was created by God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light means, Greek is phos, the brightness, the brilliance, the quality of mankind. It also means truth and knowledge. So in God was life, and the life was the light, the truth and knowledge of men. But then look what happened in verse 5. And the light exposed. It appeared in the darkness, but the darkness didn't embrace it. Regardless of what you do, some people are just not going to embrace the light that's in you. Just like they didn't embrace it. It will expose the darkness. When light comes, it exposes the darkness. And instead of the darkness running to the darkness rejects the light. Everybody's just not cool with it. But then it got really deep for me. It went to another level for me. Because although we were all created by God, we're all not children of God. Oh, Pastor. Woo. Regardless of what they want to say as far as political correctness and what the culture and what the world and all this inclusiveness stuff, everybody's not a child of God. That was a hard word for me. It just really hit me as I was studying this. It's tough when you're studying and God is talking to you. Okay. All right. Y'all ready to swim a little deeper? As Dr. Early taught me, when you have relationships with people, it's so at three levels of swimming. What is one? When you're just on top of the surface and you're just kind of swimming. Hey, how you doing? Good, 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 good. Yeah. How's everything? Yeah, yeah, good, good, good. And then when you go snorkeling, you kind of go a little bit under the water and you see a little bit more. And it's more like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Hey, let's get together. But then when you put on that gear and you go scuba diving all the way, then it's, how you really doing?
Yeah.
What's going on in your life? Let's talk. Let's get real deep. Let's get real deep. Let's go scuba diving. Turn to John 8:42. Let me make it plain. Family, so we're not deceived with what this culture and this climate and what this world is trying to sell us. John 8:42. Everybody's not a child of God. Be careful out there. Don't get caught up in this political correctness and this inclusive and all that kind of stuff. Jesus made it plain. Jesus said unto them, if God, when you're there, say amen. John 8:42. I could spend a whole year in just John chapter 8 because it's that good. Jesus already told them he's the light of the world. Earlier in the chapter, they brought the woman they had caught in adultery. They just brought her. Last time I checked, it takes two to commit adultery. But they brought the woman, and Jesus had to put them in check and send them on their way. But then Jesus breaks it down all the way. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of my own self, but he sent me. Why? Verse 43. Why do you not understand me? Understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word. Remember, they can't hear the logos. They can't hear it. Look what he says right here. You are of your father, the devil. So we're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. It's some people whose father is actually the devil. Why? He tells them. You have your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So if everybody was a child of God, he would have told them, we're all children of God right here. But you're being influenced by the devil. He said, no, no. Your father is the devil. For if God was your father, you would receive me. So family, when we out here and they say, everybody, let's just join hands and get together and we're all one and we all serve the same God. Whoa. No, we don't. Not because Pastor said it, but because Jesus and the Word says it. Be careful. Be careful what people are trying to get you influenced with. Once you're out there carrying signs and protesting, as long as your sign says, get saved, repent of your sins, be out there with your sign. Anything else doesn't really count. And you out there standing with people and you right next to them and you say God is your father and their father is the devil and you're standing right next to them. Told you it was going to get a little deep, deep and delicate. But families, I'm studying this. God is showing. I have to give the word as God's given it to me for this time. Family, it's a lot going on. Don't get out there and get deceived thinking everybody is everybody and we're all inclusive and God is love. Yes, God is love, but God is also holy. And there's a standard that God has set. And you got people out there getting caught up and it's real touchy out there now. But we got to stand on the word. All right, let's finish this. What I have, 4 through 48? Okay, let's go through 48. I had to stop because I was getting ready to get, anyway, 45. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God. And then they want to try and just throw a low blow on Jesus. Then answered the Jews and said, verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that you are Samaritan? Remember, we talked last week. Jews and Samaritans had nothing in common. They hated each other. They're totally different. They couldn't be more opposite than oil and water. So they, all of a sudden, they're going to challenge his culture. A matter of fact, they called him the N-word right there. You are in and you got a devil. Now, if that's not fighting words, I ain't never heard fighting words before. You are N-word and you the devil. That's what they just told him. They tried to flip the script on him, saying, no, 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 we don't have a devil. You are in and you the devil. Those are fighting words. verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Remember, when we've kind of gone forward and we've gone back. Remember, and I think it's John 15:23 or either 16:23. Jesus said, you can't love God and hate me. If you've seen God, you've seen me. Jesus said, we're the same. He's trying to teach them that he and God are the same. He's trying to teach us that he and God are the same, that his word is the word. Either you believe it. Family, this is a hard word. I have to examine myself. Do I really believe this? If I do, then my life should reflect that I actually believe that Jesus is God. And that he is who he said he is, and he can do what he said he can do. I'm challenged to believe this myself. As I'm studying, as I'm sharing with you all, I'm challenged to believe it myself. Amen. Let's go. Let's finish verse 50. Let's go all the way through since we're here. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Jesus is going deep. Verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like you. But I know him and I keep his sayings. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jesus is getting ready to tell him he's God. Verse 57. Then the Jews said unto him, man, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, most assuredly, you better believe it. This is true. I'm saying unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to stone at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Go back to John 1:1. When God spoke to Moses, and he said he had to go speak to the children of Israel, he said, who do I tell them sent me? God told him, you told him that I am have sent you. I am that I am. So when Jesus just told him right there, that's in Exodus chapter 13, if you want to look it up. I believe it's Exodus 13 or Exodus 3:13 or Exodus 13. I can find it for you if you just come and see me after service. It's right here. Amen? Amen. Jesus told them, God told Moses, tell him, I am that I have sent you. And Jesus told them, before Abraham was, I am. He made it clear that he was God. So now we go back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light exposed the darkness, and the darkness rejected it, couldn't embrace it, embraced it not. All right, so here we go. Let's go to John 1. Just go to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. So now remember the Word, the mind of God, the speech of God, the voice of God was made flesh. And that word flesh is sarx in the Greek. The flesh means animal cravings which entice us to sin. It's the body. So that Word had to put on this flesh and now was enticed to sin. So we can't even tell Jesus, you don't know what it's like to be tempted. You don't know what it's like to see something and want it. He's like, oh, actually, when I put on that flesh, I had to deal with it too. Otherwise, it's not fair. It's like playing cards with marked cards. If Jesus couldn't have sinned, then it's not fair for him to tell us you can overcome like I overcame. If he had marked cards, if he had loaded dice, we shooting dice. All right, don't act like you didn't shoot dice. Mickey, we grew up together. Don't act. Remember those bathrooms at Fauché? Okay, don't come on, Mickey. All right. So if God is playing with loaded dice, then it's not fair for him to tell you that you can live right when he had loaded dice and was able to live right. But when he put on the flesh, it evened the score. So now I can't stand before God and say, man, you saw some things, but you weren't tempted like when we see things. Yeah, actually, I was. When those money changers were in the temple and you saw him making that money, it's like, you know, I want to go make some too. But he kicked them out because they was turning God's house into a den of thieves. So now the voice of God, the reason of God, the mind of God, the heart of God was made flesh, and he hung out among us. We beheld his glory. We beheld his splendor, the splendor as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we go. The glory, the doxa, the splendor, the king. We saw his king, his kingship, his majesty, his dignity, his honor, his worship, his praise, his brightness. The apostles saw it, they felt it, they observed it. When it said, beheld, to look upon, to meet, to learn by looking. You know, you can learn a lot just by observing someone. It might not be completely accurate, but you could learn a lot just by looking at somebody. And they said, we saw him. We beheld his glory. We were just observing him. We just looked at him. We beheld him. We met him. We learned by looking at him. We saw the doxa, the splendor, the majesty, and then the grace. He was full of grace. Here's grace: loving kindness, merciful kindness, favor, joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, loveliness, benefit, and reward. And in truth, reality. He was full of loving kindness, and he was full of reality. We saw it all. Truth also means personal excellence. Didn't get any better than him. Personally, he was excellent. And that's the truth. That's why most people just want answers. They don't want truth. Because they can't handle the truth. I'm glad you caught that. It's all right. Look at verse 14 one more time. And the Word was made flesh, and it hung out among us. We observed his splendor, his majesty. The splendor and majesty as the only Son of God, of the Father, the Theos. And he was full, had an abundance of grace, of loving kindness and mercy, sweetness, reward and benefit and truth. He was real. Personally, he was excellent, said we saw it. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he whom is preferred before me. This was he of whom I spoke. He that came after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So how does he come after you if he's before you, if he was before you, if he was after you? And that's what we'll pick up next week. Out of time, but not out of words. Oh, my goodness. If you would, bow your heads just for a quick minute. We'll go ahead and finish in prayer. Then we'll dismiss. Lord, as we are challenged to just really understand who you are, you're the only begotten, full of grace and truth. How you set the standard. How there's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. How you resurrected on that third day. How you taught the apostles for 40 days after you resurrected. Then you ascended up. And angels told us the same way you went up is the same way you're going to come back for us. James, Peter, and John, they saw this. From this prayer to the arrest, to the crucifixion, to the resurrection, to 40 days with you after you were resurrected, to seeing you go up into heaven. And Lord, and you ask us, have we completed the assignment that you've given us? Have we even started, Lord? Lord, show us why you created us. You said you made us, Lord, from existence to completion. It's already done. Show us what was in your mind when you created us, Lord. We don't want to waste time doing anything that you haven't called us to do. You start off by praying, the hour has come. Whatever that hour is, Lord, is it 11 o'clock? Is it 11:59? How close are we, Lord? So that's our prayer now, Lord, as we pray for ourselves. Show us why you created us. We want to finish the work. We want to start the work. We don't want to miss anything that you have for us. We recognize you as God, saving us from our sins. We couldn't save ourselves. Thank you for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So we bless you, Lord. And maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Say, Pastor, I just need to get saved. I need to get rescued. I didn't realize Jesus was so powerful. I didn't realize Jesus was God. I didn't realize Jesus made everything. I want to commit my life to him today. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I just want to or need to rededicate. I need to get back in line with what God has for me. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I'm just looking for a good place to worship and to serve and to be family. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family here. We're not members. We are family. Lord, how we love you on today. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. And we thank you for another opportunity to get it right. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for cleansing us, Lord. Thank you that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, Lord. Thank you. You're not pointing a finger at us and saying, look what you did and look how you're living. You're not doing that. Your word says, for you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. you're rooting for us, telling us we can do it. Keep fighting a good fight. Fight every day to live right. Stay humble. Stay loving. Stay salt. Stay light. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord. Thank you for the family, Lord. We can come in fellowship today. Thank you for another opportunity today to live and move and breathe and have our being. Lead, guide, and direct us, Lord, as we leave this place, but not your presence. We thank you that you've come to give us life, and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.